Thanks, Matt. Awesome. How you doing, everyone? Good to see you. Thank you, boys. Scotty Blakemore. Who thinks Scotty Blakemore is the total entertainment package? And, you know, it goes without saying, the most eligible bachelor, desirous bachelor on the Gold Coast, apparently. So yeah, awesome. Good to see you. Trish and I are back from holidays, and which was really, really cool. We had a good time. And if you're here this morning, you will know that I mentioned how we went small kind of skiing. I went to the snow and tried to ski. But I spent most of the time on my backside, actually, and so really starting to feel my age. So, something I would probably wish I had done a little bit earlier in life. My boys are actually really good on the slopes. In fact, little Ifo, who's only 9 years of age, he was actually, on the first day he learnt skiing, was actually doing the big hill and going all the way down, which was awesome. So I'm very proud of him, and thankfully he doesn't take after me. On the first day, I wrenched my knee. On the second day, I bruised my tailbone on the toboggan. And then the third day, I nearly knocked myself out. So it was fun and had a good time. And I'm just grateful and thankful to be alive. Amen. It was mentioned up there that in a couple of weeks' time, actually, we've got a women's afternoon tea, high tea. This Saturday. Is it this Saturday? Okay, well... Trish, I think you should get up here just for a sec. Welcome, Trish. Actually, don't worry about jumping up here. She actually had a birthday just the other week, last couple of weeks ago. Happy birthday to you. So there's your present. So tell us more about the women's high tea.
Thanks, honey. Thank you, everyone, for that beautiful birthday rendition. That was amazing. Should have recorded that and we could have sold it, you know, around the world. You know, the harmonies were phenomenal. But thank you so much. So the high tea is this Saturday coming, and we just want to gather the girls. This is our first event where we're getting the girls from both our Pimpamar campus and our Reedy Creek campus together. And we just want to gather the girls and do what girls do best, which is chat and, you know, connect and just talk life and eat and drink and be merry and have loads of fun. So it's $10. I mean, you can't get a high tea anywhere for $10, so it's like a bargain. And so if you've got any allergies or intolerances or anything like that, if you go online when you register, there's a little space down the bottom with details, and if you just pop in there, if you're gluten intolerant or anything like that, just let us know so we can cater for... any intolerances that you have. But we look forward to seeing as many girls come and connect and have a good time this Saturday. So make sure you jump online, register. You can do that now, girls, while you're sitting there, because all the young people who are so tech savvy are able to do that. That'd be awesome, and we look forward to seeing you, and the team looks forward to hosting you. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. It was funny because Trisha was just saying there, okay, girls, you can do it on your devices now and register, and Jarrell put his thumbs up like that. So Jarrell, it's not for you, you know, let Sophie come. She'll have an awesome time. Well, tonight, at the start of the year, I started a series called Seven Sermons About God. And I did the first six, and then we had the whole time with the breakthrough offering and 21 days of breakthrough, so we focused on that. But I'm going to finish it and do the last one tonight. And so talk about the seventh day. And then next week, I'm going to start a series talking about tough texts of the Bible. And so next week, I'm going to do a message based on the passage where it talks about the Moses, when he was actually going into Egypt to go and see Pharaoh. God had told him to go. And on the way there, as he was traveling, God came to meet him to kill him. And then his wife grabbed their son, chopped his foreskin off, threw it at Moses' feet and said, "You're a husband of blood to me," and God let him go. And so the title of the message is going to be called Cut That Out. And so when I preach at night, in the morning we're doing a series across all our campuses called Life Lessons on the Book of James. But whenever I'm speaking at night, I'm going to do tough texts of the Bible, take some passages of Scripture that looks like doesn't make any sense, some passages of Scripture that might look a bit unusual, and actually preach on that. Because the Bible says that all Scripture is useful to us, even the bits that you don't understand or the bits that don't make some sense. So that'll be a fun series, and we'll be starting that. I'll be starting that next week. But today, we're going to finish off seven sermons about God. And so I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And it says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I just ask and pray, Lord, that you help us to know you more and more, to see you as you truly are. I thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you would remember that I've been doing a series called Seven Sermons About God, and basically taking the 7 days of creation and looking at different aspects of God's character that is revealed to us through these 7 days. And so today, we're actually looking at the seventh day. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, why even bother talking about the seventh day? Because nothing actually happened. But the thing is, it doesn't matter that nothing happened. We can still see things about God's character and God's nature, even in the midst of these three verses. And so tonight I want to talk to you about three other aspects of God's character, three things about God that we can actually see on the seventh day of creation. The first thing that we can see about him is this. It says in Genesis 2 verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." The first thing we can see about God from this is, number one, that God is a finisher. God is a finisher. God started on the first day and completed all that he had done by the sixth day, and here we are on the seventh day. When God starts something, he's actually going to finish it. The Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6 that he who began a good work in you will actually bring it to completion. And so God, when he starts something, he's actually going to finish it. He is purposeful. The Bible says he is a plan and purpose for your life. And so if you're a vision-driven person and you have goals and desires and you have ambitions, there might be parts about it where you feel like you're not achieving that everything that you desire to do. But I'm here to let you know that that's okay, because God will finish what he has actually started in your life. I have learned even in my own life that there has been times where I have received almost, it seems like that you receive almost like a partial miracle, that you believe in God for some kind of miracle in your life and you receive, and it's kind of like it's partial and it's not completed yet. A classic example of this is when Jesus went to heal a blind man. The Bible said the blind man came to him and he wanted to be healed. And so what Jesus did was he spat in the ground and made some mud, and then he wiped it on the man's eyes. And then when he took it off and he said, "How does that look? You know, can you see now?" And the blind man said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." So what is he saying? He's saying, "I'm starting to see, but I'm not seeing completely." Jesus doesn't say to him then, "Oh, well, that's enough. That's good enough for you. You know, it's better than the way you were before. Don't worry." No, he doesn't do that. He lays hands on him again, and the next time he was completely healed. The thing we need to understand about God is he will finish something that he has started. There are some people here and God has performed a miracle in your life and it seems like it's a partial miracle, that it's not completed. And there's been like a gap or a wait. And the enemy has said to you, that's all God's going to do. I'm here to let you know that he is a finisher. That when he starts something, he is going to finish it. That breakthrough that may have started in the 21 days of breakthrough and you haven't got the full experience of that yet, I'm here to let you know God finishes what he starts. When he starts something, he is going to finish it. A number of years ago, I've told you the story about when we first got our first miracle house. And it was an absolute miracle that we got it, but it wasn't completed and it wasn't finished. And I've told you before, it was like I used to call it the Big Brother house, because we'd built this house, but it was on a block of land where we didn't have enough money to landscape. We didn't have enough money to actually put any window furnishings on there. We didn't have enough money to complete it. We didn't even have enough money for a letterbox. Our letterbox was a bucket at the end of our driveway. And so we received this great miracle to actually get into this house, but then nothing. And so here I am, I've got this house and it's like it's not completed. In the spare bedrooms, there was cavities in the wall which was where the wardrobe's going to be when we actually finish it. It's in North Queensland, but we had actually no air conditioning. And so you get this great miracle to actually get in this house, and then it seems like nothing is going to happen. Then all of a sudden the doubts start entering my heart. Is God ever going to finish this? Is this the way it's going to be forever? Am I going to forever have to have Christmas paper on my wall, on my windows and that sort of thing? Am I going to live without air conditioning in North Queensland forever? And I started feeling like it's not going to be completed. And then I remember I had a time in prayer on the back porch and I was praying, and God really revealed that scripture to me about when he starts something, he's going to finish it. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And then all of a sudden faith came into my heart and I said, you know what, is it not in God's nature to start something and then not finish it? It's not like he said, okay, we've done day three, that's fine. We don't have to do the rest of the days. The earth is good enough. No, he completed the whole project that he started. He didn't do it all on the one day. It actually took him 6 days, but he did end up finishing what he started. Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he came to die on the cross for the punishment of our sins. And then on the cross, he actually said, it is finished. And he finished what he had started. It wasn't like he came, did, performed a few miracles and thought, you know what, that's good enough. These people can save themselves. No, no, no. He finished what he started. We serve a purposeful God who finishes what he starts. And so when faith entered my heart, in the end, I started laying a hold of God. And within the next 6 months, our house was completely finished and completely furnished. And it was completely, and we had the landscaping done and everything was done. And I got a new letterbox, praise God. God will finish what he starts. With some people here, I'm here to let you know God finishes what he starts. This needs to help you, for some of you, with some of your discernment. Because what happens is sometimes we start something in God, and then because it doesn't go necessarily the way that we think it should, then we allow the enemy to talk us out of it and to back away from it. I mentioned this morning in our morning services how one of the things I learnt when I was running a Bible college was that God would send some people there to actually break the cycle of quitting from their life. That literally there were some people that would come to that before coming to Bible college, everything they started, that when tough times got tough, they actually quit and they actually stopped. There were some people that had started courses and then quit them. And then they'd start this other job and then quit it. And it was like, it wasn't like a momentary thing. I'm not saying that that we should never ever quit anything. But there were some people that literally, that everything they did, they would start, but they would not bring it to completion. And they would start getting into things like, oh, well, maybe God doesn't want me here anymore. Maybe this isn't God's plan or will for my life. Remember one time we actually had one student come, and after about 6 months, he came and saw the Dean of Students and he said to him, look, I think I'm supposed to leave. And so the Dean of Students said to him, why do you think that? And he said, well, you know, I'm just feeling it's not working out the way that I thought it would. Dean of Students said, have you got the money to finish the course? Yeah, I've got the money to finish the course. But why do you want to leave? I just feel like I want to leave. And he said, well, did you feel God tell you to come and start the course? And he said, yes, I felt God told me to come and start the course. And he said, well, God wouldn't tell you to start the course and then not finish it. Because we serve a God who's a finisher. He doesn't say, I'm going to create the earth and after 3 days give up. He's a finishing God. He finishes what he starts. And there's somebody here, and I'm harping on this way longer than I was going to, but there's someone here, you need to hear this. It is not God telling you to stop something that he told you to start. He is a finishing God, and he will help you to finish that thing that he started. And it might be an apprenticeship, it might be a course, it might be something that you know God told you to start. That is the enemy telling you to quit right now, because when God tells you to start something, he'll get you to finish it. He is a finishing God. And on the seventh day of creation, the Bible says that he finished all his work. He's a finisher. You serve a God who's a finisher. And some of you feel like, well, I don't have the strength or the energy to finish what he has called me to start. Well, I'm here to let you know, you serve a God who can strengthen you. You serve a God who can empower you. You serve a God who is able to give you the strength you need to finish what he called you to start. He didn't call you to start it according to your ability. He called you to start according to his ability. And if he calls you to do something, he will enable you to actually finish it. And I'm keeping on going this, and I don't know why. But he is a finishing God. If God called you to start something, he didn't just then turn around and tell you to quit it. He's calling you to start and finish. He's a finishing God. The second thing that we can learn about our God says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. He says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. The second thing we can learn about God is God is tired. No, that's not true. He rested on the seventh day, but let's be honest, he actually didn't need to rest. He wasn't resting because he was tired, because he doesn't get tired. The Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. And so you serve a God who is all-powerful, who doesn't run out of energy, who doesn't get depressed. So we serve a God who is not needing that actually that rest. So why is he actually resting on the seventh day? The reason why he was resting on the seventh day is not because he needed it, but because he knows we need it. The reason he rested on the seventh day was to give us a pattern to follow in our lives, that he was actually modeling it to us. The whole reason why he took a day off and he didn't need to take a day off, the whole reason why he did it is because he knew that we need to. So the second thing you can understand about God is that God is considerate. God is considerate. He understands that we are spirit and we are soul and we are body, and that every part of our lives needs to have that needs to have a level of replenishment. That's why we went away on a holiday. We went away on a holiday because, you know, it's a good thing that annually to go and take a break. In fact, that there has been some studies that suggest, especially for people who are in ministry, because ministry is a high adrenaline occupation. When you speak, you get adrenaline surges. And if you don't have appropriate rest, you get a thing called adrenal fatigue. And so they recommend for people in ministry that they should have a 3-week unhindered break every year. Not 3 1-week blocks, but a 3-week break, because that's what it takes to replenish your system and prepare you actually for the next year. And that's not for people who have a lack of faith. That's just the way that we're wired. That's just the way that we're made. Not only that, it's a good thing for us as humans to actually have one day off a week, like a day of rest, especially the older you get. It's a good thing to actually have a day off. I remember a number of years ago when I was a youth pastor, I was working for the church, and it's probably not legal to do this now, but back in the day, we were paid from Monday to Friday, and then Sunday was considered a day unto the Lord, we would call it, which was basically work full time all day Sunday, but don't get paid. And still work Monday to Friday. And then I took over a youth ministry that actually met on a Saturday. And so we had youth on Saturday night. And so I was working Monday to Friday at church 8 to 10 hours on a Sunday. And then we had youth on Saturday night. But who knows if you got youth on Saturday night, you're not just rocking up starting youth on Saturday night. You're actually having youth earlier in the day. And so basically this went on for nearly 2 years. And so I essentially hardly had a day off for 2 years. And so we were doing that. And then at the end of it, after about 18 months, I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm just tired all the time. I don't have the pep that I have. I was still praying, seeking God. I'd just done a 40-day fast before it. But that didn't seem to be enough to just kind of get me going again. And so I thought, oh, maybe I've got glandular fever. I'm run down. So I went and saw a doctor. And I said to the doctor, listen, I'm feeling tired. Maybe I've got glandular fever. Maybe you can give me something to pep me up. And the doctor said, well, tell me your schedule. So I wrote down my schedule and showed him. And they said, well, that's your problem. He says, you never have a day off. And so I was like, oh. So what I did was I moved my day off, and I moved it from Saturday. I moved youth from Saturday night to Friday night and changed it to that. And so then at least me and my leaders would have all day Saturday off. And it was incredible the change that actually happened in me. I started feeling better. I started feeling more enthusiastic. I started feeling more energized, all because we followed that biblical principle of actually having that day off. That is something that God actually instituted, not because he needed it, but he is so considerate, he actually cared about us. Not only that, that there are other ways that we need to be rejuvenated to live the faith-filled, strong, Christian lives that God has called us. One of the things we need is social interaction with other people. That's why it's good for you to join a connect group, just to hang out with a bunch of people and get to know each other and connect with them, encourage them in their faith. And you'll find that when you go to something like that, it will revitalize you. That was something I only got a revelation of a little bit after this time. I remember when I'd had this revelation of having rest, and so then what I would do is that I would have the day off on Saturday, and I would go to bed early. People, I think, were calling me Cinderella because I turned into a pumpkin at midnight. And so I would actually have, on a Saturday night, I would go to bed very early, sometimes 9 o'clock or something like that, because I need my rest. And I remember one day, one of our leaders, a girl named Cindy, invited us and a bunch of other guys to go over to her house to play a card game like Billionaire, called Billionaire, which is a lot like, you know, really it sounds a lot like Ash Rogers Connect Group, where all they do is play board games. And so we went over there, and I thought, what am I playing billionaire for? You know, I've got to preach tomorrow, you know, got to have a good rest tonight, you know, to get in the Word of God tomorrow. And I went over and I just, we were playing billionaire, and then we started, you know, a bit of banter, and we're having laughter, and then I was getting upset because I was the best player, but I kept on losing. And so we're playing this game, and I remember that night, things got a little bit out of hand for me, and I actually went home, and I didn't get home till about 11:30. And I thought, oh man, that's late. You know, and I'm not getting enough rest for tomorrow. I woke up the next morning completely energized, revitalized, ready to hit the day and serve the Lord on the Sunday. What had happened? I needed that fueling. And God knows that we are actually like that. A religious spirit would say, no, you don't need things like that. All you need to do is exercise spiritual disciplines. I'm here to let you know, yes, you do need to exercise spiritual disciplines. But God knows that we are a spirit, a soul, and a body. And that we are people that need to be replenished, and we need to be healthy. We need to be victorious in every area of our life. For some of you, you might be looking for breakthrough in your life, and God's talking to you about personal habits, and He might be talking to you about personal disciplines. I'm here to let you know He cares about the whole of your life. If we're believing Him for physical healing, don't you think He's interested in your physical health as well, in terms of your emotional well-being and all those sorts of things? Those things are all important to us, and He doesn't need that stuff, but we do. And He is considerate of us. The Bible says that every one of your hairs have been numbered. Now, for some of you, that's going to be easier to number. But for others, it takes a little bit longer. But He cares about every aspect of your life. He is considerate. Even in some of the small areas of your life, the insignificant areas of your life, some of those areas that are causing you a little bit of stress, some things that are causing you some worry and some anxiety, God even cares about that. If every hair on your head is numbered, surely all these other areas of your life God cares about. That's why there's no harm when you're praying and you're spending time with the Lord. There's no harm in talking to Him about these things. That some of these things that might seem insignificant to other people, but they're a big deal for you, God actually cares about them. And you'll be amazed at what He can do in order to bless you and to take care of you. He is considerate of His people. He did not take a day off because He needed it. He took a day off as a model for living for every single one of us because He is considerate about every area of our life. And the third thing that we can learn about Him is this. Says in verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. The third thing about God, and the last thing we're going to talk about in this series, and it's probably the most important statement, God is Lord. He's the boss. He finished His work. No one told Him what to do. Why? Because He's the Lord. Lord actually means boss, that He is the boss, and He is the Lord of our lives. One of the things that I remember a number of years ago that God challenged me on was actually my walk with Him. I didn't have a full revelation of this. You know that we can, depending on what, we can see God with from a different facet. We can see Him as our Savior. Well, literally, we come to Him and we respond and we ask Him to save us from our sin and to save us from an eternity without Him. And some of us also, we can get a revelation that He's our friend, that He loves us and He's there for us, and He is. But more important than Him being your Savior, and more important than Him being your friend, is that He's actually our Lord. And what that means is that He's the boss, that He's the Lord of our lives. I remember, and I've told you this story last year, about how the moment this actually really happened for me, and that was when I was, God had called me to go to Bible college. Up until that time, my relationship with God was a little bit like me trying to get God to do what I wanted Him to do. And I remember at this very time that God called me to go to Bible college, and I did not want to go. And I did not want to go where He wanted me to go, which was Sydney. And I remember I was really fighting about it, and I caught up with a friend of mine, and I was seeking Him for some advice, but I was actually asking Him to really confirm what I was thinking, which is I should not go to Sydney to go to Bible college. And I remember I was talking to Him and I said, oh, look, I'm feeling like God's wanting me to go to Bible college in Sydney, but that's just weird. I don't want to go and do that. And just out of the blue, He said to me quite seriously, He said, well, maybe God wants you to do what he wants you to do instead of you doing what you want to do all the time. And it was so true. I realized that the way I saw God was like, he's my savior, yes. He's my friend, yes, and he'll bless me. But more important than that, he's actually the Lord. He's actually the boss. You know, the Bible says that on the day of judgment, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that actually he's Lord. I told you before about a t-shirt that probably about 10 years ago people used to buy from Just Jeans, and it's a picture of Jesus on it and said, Jesus is my homeboy. Well, I need to let you know he's not your homeboy. He's the Lord. You know, it's not going to be every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, yo, you're my homeboy. No, no. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's the Lord and he's the boss. And I have found very often that some of us, that there comes a time where we can't step from having faith and belief in him and knowing that he's good to us to crossing over, to saying, you know what, Lord, you're the Lord. You're the boss. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whatever you call me to do, I will actually do it. Remember a number of years ago, we went on staff for a church, which is now called IC Church. And I remember going to their night service. Their night service was absolutely pumping. And I was from quite a conservative church up in North Queensland, a country church. And I remember I went there and I went up to the senior pastor's wife, Jo Geerling. And I said to her, do you mean I actually get to go to a church like this? What was I saying? Because up until now, wherever God calls me to go, I go. And sometimes I was going to doing some things I didn't enjoy. But there came a point in my time, in my life, where I said, you know what? You're the Lord, you're the boss. And I just sensed in my heart, without any condemnation, without putting anyone down, that there are a couple of people here and, yes, you want him as your saviour. And, yes, you know that he's your friend. But you haven't given him the keys. You haven't allowed him to sit on the throne of your life. You know, if Jesus is the centre of it all, it actually means that he's in the middle and he's the boss. And he wants to bless us and he's considerate of us and he's got good things for us. But make no mistake, he's the Lord, he's the boss. That's why the Bible says that when we get saved, we actually get ransomed. He gave his life as a ransom for many. What does that mean? It means that he gave his life on the cross so that we can come out from under sin. And actually then our lives still don't belong to us. Our lives actually belong to him. The Bible says that through Christ, we were once slaves of sin, slaves to sin. But now, it doesn't say we're slaves to sin, now we're free to do what we want. He says we were slaves to sin, but now we're slaves to righteousness. We still don't belong to ourselves. We actually belong to the Lord. And above all else, it's his work. And we are the workmanship of his hands. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do whatever we want. No, no, no. To do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. He's our Lord and he's our boss. He wants to bless you. He'll save your soul. He wants to perform miracles for you and do good things for you. But make no mistake, above all that, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And maybe you're in this place and you're saying, Ben, you know what? I believe in God. He's real. I've said the prayer. I've asked him into my life. But I realized my relationship was a little bit more, I want him at my beck and call, rather than me doing what he wants me to do. You know, I used to live with his family and they used to have this little dog and the dog would always come out to me and would bring a ball when I would come home. And so I'd grab the ball and throw it and the dog would go get it and come back. And then I'd throw it and it'd come back. And eventually, I grabbed the ball and I just threw it so far that by the time it got back, I was in the house and away from the dog. Which I know is mean, but anyway. And the thing is that sometimes our relationship with God can be a little bit like that, that we want him at our disposal, but really we're here for his disposal. We are here to be used by him. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And maybe you're in this place and you're saying, Ben, my relationship, he's my saviour, he's my friend, but I'm not sure that he is Lord. Maybe there's been an area of your life and I don't want to get too heavy and But there might be an area of your life that you have set aside from him and said, God, I give you all that, but this area I'm not giving to you. He is actually the Lord of all, every area of our life. And what I found is this, that when I give him some of the secret areas of my life, when I hand these things over to him, it's incredible what actually gets released into my life as well. He is our Saviour. He is our friend. But above all that, he is our Lord. And so maybe you're here and you're saying, Ben, I've always considered him my Saviour. I've always considered him my friend. But if I was to be honest, maybe I haven't considered him to be my Lord. It's the greatest thing that you can do to give your life, to fully give your life over to him, to lay it down. And so if you're in this place and you're saying that's you, can I ask everyone just close their eyes and bow their heads for a moment? You might be here and you're saying, Ben, I believe in him, I talk to him, and I pray to him, but I know that I haven't made him my Lord. He's my Saviour and he's my friend, but I haven't made him my Lord. If that is you, right where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me tonight. That I'm going to cross over to a higher level of living. I'm going to cross over to that next step of wholehearted servitude and obedience to the Lord. So if that is you right where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me tonight. I'm crossing over. I'm going to go to a new higher level of my walk with him and make him my Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord, that your word says that unless a seed dies, goes into the ground and dies, it can't spring forth new life. And if we want to find our life, we actually have to lose it. And I just thank you for your people here. May our church be known as people who are wholehearted followers of you, Lord God. That no matter where, no matter when, at all times, that we serve you and know you, Lord God. I pray for those of us that might be struggling, Lord, that there's some areas of our life that we've held back from you, Lord, that you're wanting. I just ask you and pray that you give release the grace and the strength and the encouragement to be able to release that to you. I thank you and praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can I just ask you to just keep your eyes closed a little bit longer? Maybe you're in this place and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ before ever. You don't have a relationship with him, but you want to. Well, tonight is the perfect night to do so. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're in this place and you haven't given your life to Christ, but you want to, if that's you, right where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me tonight. Tonight I want to give my life to Christ. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to give my life to him. So if that is you, right where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me tonight. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to have a relationship with God. Church, would you stand to your feet? Lift your hands to heaven. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for every person in this place. And I pray, Lord, help us to see you as you are. Lord, for those that are carrying burdens that don't need to, that we could lay down at your feet. I just ask and pray, Lord God, and help us to get a revelation of how considerate that you are toward us. For those, Lord God, who need the strength to be able to finish what you've called them to start, I ask and pray right now, Lord, that you give them that strength. And I pray, Lord, for every single one of us, help us to live for you as the Lord of our life. I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. You're an awesome God. I declare your favor. I declare your blessing upon every single person in this place. Wherever we may go, Lord, help us to be carriers of the blessing of God. I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.